say yesterday was really great weather.
Yeah,
it was. You know, me and Richie just kept looking at the water and kept asking ourselves, why did we not bring our boats? Why did we not bring the fishing boats? But it was a great time. I really enjoyed it. Julie did such a great job. And everybody else loved the cups. Didn't really recognize what was on the cups. I got home, I was like, this is just simply amazing.
Yeah.
Those cups were like, wow.
Yeah.
Man, so I was really encouraged by that, impressed by the work put in and everything. So, amen, guys. We're going to be, of course, over the Gospel of Mark. That's where we've been at in Mark, just talking a little bit, following Jesus and his earthly ministry during that time. You know, the Bible says, you know, train a child in the way they should go, and they'll never turn from it. Right. And that takes a lot of diligence to really train a child. And I was reading a story the other day. It was about a parent and their child. And so they were sitting in church, supposedly, and the mother noticed the daughter hunched over and was holding her stomach. And the mother said, what's wrong with you? She says, my stomach hurts. And the mother said, oh, it's probably because it's empty. You need to put something in it. So, you know, went on through the rest of the day and everything. And later on that evening, they had the pastor over for dinner and everything. And they're sitting at the dining room table, and they're talking just at the dinner. And the pastor leans over, and he's holding his head and everything. And he says, man, you know, he said, oh, I got a very bad headache. It hurts. And the little girl looks up at him with a sweet smile. She said, probably because it's empty. You need to put something in it. Kids just have a way of retaining things. And they remember and repeat stuff. So I was like, man, this is too funny. Something a child would say, that's probably just empty. Put something in it. Oh, man. The Gospel of Mark is where we're at. And, of course, guys, you know, those who have been following along, we've been talking about Jesus and just as he's walking his earthly ministry. And of course, we left off where he was using some powerful teaching, which they recognize as having a lot of authority. And now he's talking about healing many people. You know, who does not want to be healed?
Amen.
We all want healing in some way. And a lot of times it's not physical. Sometimes it's mental, it's emotional. You know, we want healing. Healing brings peace. Peace of mind. We all fight for that. So, but I want to read here first, starting in Mark chapter 1, verse 29. And it says, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. It says, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. It says, so he went to her, took her hand, and helped her. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. So let's figure out who we're talking about here. So who are we talking about? James, John, Simon, Andrew, and of course Jesus, who is the focal point. What are we talking about? They're visiting the home of Simon, and while they're there, they find out that Simon's mother-in-law has a fever. Her head is hurt. She's not feeling well. She's sick. This is happening where? In the home of Simon? Why are we talking about this? Well, let's recap. Back before we got here, if you remember in the synagogue, in Capernaum, Jesus drove out what? He drove out a demon. Out of a guy. The guy was demon possessed. You know, his disciples witnessed this healing firsthand. So when it was made clear that Simon's mother-in-law had a fever, it was a no-brainer to them on how to help her. What was that? Go to Jesus. Mm-hmm. It was a simple no-brainer. Mm-hmm. How many times have you had issues in your life or find yourself in an unfortunate circumstance, and you realize the answer to your problem was to go to Jesus, but you chose to go in a different direction?
Mm-hmm.
Some things are no-brainers.
Yep.
But sometimes we don't like no-brainers. Sometimes we like the hard road. We like to do it our way. I don't know why that is. You know, instead you choose your pride and decide to do the heavy lifting on your own.
That's right.
I don't know if you've ever lifted something heavy in your life, but sometimes lifting some things heavy is a really strain. It can do a lot of damage. Some things that are too heavy for you to lift can cause you to have a hernia. Yep. That's no fun. But if somebody gives you an easy way out, or they give you an answer, or something that's much easier and it's not as heavy to lift, would you not choose that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we say, yeah, but in our younger days, man, we sure did a lot of heavy lifting, didn't we?
Yeah.
We just did too much heavy lifting. Only if we can go back and talk to the younger you, stop doing it, go to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Just to stop what you're doing, go to Jesus. Mm-hmm. But you know, sometimes we want to have our way. We're determined to learn the hard way.
Yeah.
Until we realize that Jesus was the answer all along.
Amen.
You know, how many times have you chosen to go in the opposite direction of Jesus? Think about that. How many times have you chosen to go in the opposite direction? How did that turn out? You know, life has many challenges that we must face. Mm-hmm. We can face them alone and do the heavy lifting on our own, or we can go to Jesus and allow him to do the heavy lifting. And you know, and it's kind of ironic, Jesus told us that we don't have to do the heavy lifting.
That's right.
We're all familiar with the old scripture. Give me your what?
Burdens.
Yeah. I don't know why we don't want to give it to him. Who else volunteers you say, give me your problems? If you got problems, give them all to me. Who really volunteers that? The people that know I got problems of my own.
Right.
I think Jay-Z made a song, I got 99 problems. You know what I'm saying? I got problems of my own. So I'm not volunteering to take yours.
Amen.
But you got to love Jesus. Jesus said, give me your problems. And in return, I give you something lighter to carry.
That's right.
Lighter to carry. You know, you have to ask yourself, which have you chosen in the past? And what did you learn from those decisions? But what will you choose now as you go forward in life? Will you continue to choose to do the heavy lifting? Or are you going to go to Jesus? No. You know, Jesus' disciples, they seen what he did earlier in the synagogue. They realized the only answer for Simon's mother-in-law was Jesus because they witnessed firsthand his power and how his power can change a person's life. In our lifetime, we have witnessed firsthand the power of Jesus in families, friends, things that we're like, wow, how did that happen? And we realize that was Jesus. And so with the things that we witness makes us say, if I have a problem, I'm going to go to Jesus.
Yeah.
Because I've seen him work here. I've seen him work there. I've seen him work in their lives. Matter of fact, I've seen him work in my life. I don't know if many of you guys have this, but last night I was going through some of my old books and cleaning up, packing stuff, and I got old devotional books, prayer books, I call them. And I was reading some of the old prayers I wrote, and I was like, man, he did that. You know, at the time when you write the prayer, you're like, all right, Lord, I need this, and you don't think about he's doing it. But I was reading a prayer back from, God's 10 years ago, 11 years ago. I was like, all that happened. All that got accomplished.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Wow. God was doing a lot of heavy lifting in my life. Yep. And at the time when I was writing that prayer, Lord, where you at? It's kind of heavy. This is kind of heavy. I really need you to do something. But I reflect back and God reminded me, see all the things I've done in your life? Don't stop trusting me now. Don't stop trusting me now. Of course, in verse 31, we know that Jesus went to work. You know, after they told him about their concerns for Simon's mother, Jesus went to work. That's what we love about Jesus. He goes to work and he gets the problem solved. You know, picking up in verse 32, it says, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. I want to stop right there. I don't know about your house, but I can imagine if Jesus was walking with you and you have Jesus at your house and people know about the things he did over in the church building over there, which back in the day was a synagogue, and all of a sudden they realize, well, hold on. And you got in your block, you got a line of people lined up at your door. They said, man, we know he's here. We want some of that power. We want that healing that we witness. But you know, I thought about before Jesus came in the flesh, before Jesus did this, what was their position in life? I realized they had to find joy in the time of their suffering. Think about that. When you're suffering with something, pain, cut, broken bones, something that ails you, and you want the pain resolved then, and it can be stressful, really draining on you. But you know, God teaches us to, like, you gotta find joy in the moment.
Yeah.
He just got to find joy in the moment. And that's something hard to do when you're going through it. It's something hard to do when you're going through it because you want it to end. You know, but once again, what we're talking about here, just get an idea that we're going to flip over to Romans chapter 5. But we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the sickness being brought to the home of Simon. The demon possessed is being brought. We're also, you know, the reason why they're bringing him is because they want healing. They want healing. In Romans chapter 5, verse 3, let me flip over here and read to you here. Then I'm going to share some things with you.
Come on, Sydney.
Come on, bro.
Romans chapter 5, verse 3. I think I started the first one to read down. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, I love that God says, remember that you've been justified through faith.
Yep.
We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, through whom we have gained access by what? Our faith into his grace, in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God.
Yep.
Verse 3 is what we're going to focus on. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. I'm going to stop right there. You know, so recently my daughter, once you know, found out, you know, she needs a kidney transplant, you know. And, you know, when we first heard it, those were like some hard words. Sometimes when you hear something, it's like the words are like really hard. You're like, wait a minute, what's going on here? And you're processing what's happening. And, you know, I remember going home and, you know, Street's like, what's going on? I said, it's okay. And I remember like, okay, let me keep it together, because if I fall apart, everybody's going to fall apart. So I'm like, yeah, so, you know, and everything, you know. So just talking to her, I said, okay. But as the days went on, my daughter just had the happiest heart. She was so at peace. Like, I'm good. She said, you know, I'm good and everything, you know. So, amen. Well, if you're good, then I'm good, you know. I was like, God, man, amen. And it just so happened, I was reading the scripture, the verse of the day, and I always think God knows what he's doing, because he's intentionally putting things at a certain time. And this scripture pops up, and God says, guess what, Sydney? He says, look here, I want you to understand what I'm saying here. He says, Sydney, look here, he says, not only so, but it says, we also glory in our sufferings. Of course, I'm like, let me go look up. What do you mean by glory in this context? And I looked up, looked at some commentators and everything, and it says, we rejoice in our suffering.
Yep.
Finding joy in our suffering. And I was fired up about that, and I shared it with my wife. My wife, I said, you know, this scripture really helped me. God said, you need to find joy in your suffering, because it's going to, guess what, produce some perseverance in you. Going to teach you how to push through. And it's also your character is going to bring hope so you don't give up. And I remember my wife, she stood there, she said, yeah, you know, I see, you know, I'm doing that, and I get that, but I want to know how long.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And we fell out laughing. I said, isn't that us? Ain't that how human beings are? Ain't that how we are? We hear you, Lord. Persevere. Yes, Lord, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to endure. Yes, Lord, I'm going to be all for it. Yes. But God, how long we got to do this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long we got to go?
Yep.
I said, Lord, I told Mark, I said, ain't that like us? We want to know how long. I said, I can see God saying, when we say, Lord, how long? God said, see, you're not listening to me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're not getting what I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to tell you, this is for a purpose. Yeah, Lord, I get you, but I just want to know how long. 30 minutes, an hour, maybe one day, you know? Can we get a little time frame on this? God said, you're still not listening to me. God says, I need you to learn that what's happening to you now is meant to help build perseverance in you. So you don't give up and tap out. God said, in your character, I want to build some hope. Because you live in a world that's full of doubt. And anything can send you down a road toward depression.
That's right.
And I said, amen, amen. But I found humor in it. But I learned the lesson that God was saying, I need you to maintain while you're going through. Don't worry about when it's going to end. But worry about what it's going to produce in your character when it's over.
That's right.
You know, it's just amazing. Candace amazed me. You know, my wife, you laughed about it, you know. Just amazed me, you know. And I tell you, as long as we're focused on what God is trying to do in us, we can find joy in the moment.
Yes.
We can find joy in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Joy in the moment. You know, God will send a reminder to keep you focused until healing comes. Turn me to Hebrews. We're about to get there, wrap it up. God will send you a reminder to keep you focused until healing comes. I'm grateful for the kingdom and the relationships we have throughout the world with so many brothers and sisters. And a lot of people know about the health challenges that my family deals with and what's going on with my daughter. And once again, God knows what he's doing. He always sends a timely scripture. I said, come on, God, amen. I hear you. God said, Sydney, look, it's okay. Find joy in this moment. It's okay. Not only do I need to find joy this morning because I'm trying to build something in your character, but also I want you to be reminded of this. And a sister said this to me. It's this particular scripture. And I was like, amen. And Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And it says, at verse 35, it says, do not throw away your confidence.
Come on.
It will be richly rewarded.
Yep.
You know, when you're going through something, you want to throw away your confidence. It says you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised.
Yep.
For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. I was blown away. You've got to keep your confidence, persevere to do the will of God in your life, and look forward to collecting on the promises of God. Those guys who were demon-possessed before Jesus showed up and they were sick, I can only imagine the mental and emotional trauma they lived with, thinking that what? No healing was never going to come. But Jesus showed up, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
During their generation, during their time, in human form. Showed up at Simon's house, and they had a line at the door, like it was the best fried chicken in the world going on. And they came, and Jesus was doing healing. You see, while we are having issues and struggling with various things in our life, whether it's mental issues we're struggling with, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, no matter what we're going through, God is needing us to find joy in the moment while we're going through. But God also needs to realize that while we're finding joy in the moment, then guess what? Healing is coming.
Yep.
Healing is coming. His promise is not delayed. It is coming. And we don't need to worry about how long we're going to go through it. We just need to be focused on, let me go through this.
Yes.
Because God hears me, God sees me, and healing is coming.
Yes.
Guys, we're going to close that back over here. Mark, in verse 34, after they gathered the door, it says, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons. But he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was.
Yep.
You know, when you're going through something that's very emotional and mentally trauma, you need to learn how to confide in the right person. You can't tell everybody what you're going through because everybody ain't going to get it.
Yep.
Yes.
You can't tell everybody what you're going through because everybody ain't going to get it. Not everyone who knows you is for you. And if they are not for you, they will broadcast you in a bad and or negative light.
Yes.
You say, man, why is Jesus keeping the demons quiet? Because they were not for Jesus. They were not for what Jesus was doing. Jesus had came to upset the balance of power there. He came to do away with all the evil and all the wickedness that was torturing his people. Of course you're going to keep them quiet. If you have the power, we're going to keep you hushed because you mean harm and no good to us. Jesus knew that if he was to continue healing people, he had to keep his enemies quiet. There's nothing worse than a heckler in the crowd.
Yeah, that's right.
In other words, you're trying to inspire and encourage people and build people up, and you got a heckler over here trying to tear it down. And a heckler can distract the crowd because the crowd want to know is, what's that noise over there? What is he talking about?
Right.
And Jesus is trying to keep you focused on what? Stay focused on me. The healing is here. The healing is with me. The power is with me. The change is with me. But the heckler wants to distract you, cause confusion, and make you think, well, no, wait a minute. But Jesus said, nope, got to keep the enemies quiet. You see, if you are in need of healing, you can't allow your enemy to know that. Because your enemy will use your healing against you. You know, I grew up in a time, and someone's probably growing up now. You tell something to a friend, you probably say it was a so-called friend, it's a secret, and you trust them. And then somewhere along the way, they betray your trust, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a bad feeling. You trusted them with this information, they go back and they spread, and they gossip, and tell somebody that, and it's just like, oh, it just really ruins everything. Mm-hmm. And to you, you're like, you're not a friend no more because I trusted you. That was some sensitive information. You have to be careful who you trust with the information about you in your life. Because it can do more harm than good to you personally, but also to that relationship. You have to know that some friends are not good with holding water. We know that. Everybody can't hold water like some people can hold water. I don't care how close you are to them. There's just some things they don't need to know. And there are some things that with other friends, like, you can trust them because they can hold water. As a matter of fact, they are billionaires, but they'll tell you they're poorer than the poorest person in the world. All the three P's there. The poorest person in the world. But, you know, if you are in need of healing, you can't allow your enemies to know that.
True.
Not every one means you're good. You have to remember that. You must see the difference if you want to be healed.
Yes.
You must see the difference when you're healed. Jesus wanted to heal everybody. Jesus wants you to know what healing is. If you're going through something, you need to go to Jesus.
Yep.
If you're dealing with something in family, you need to go to Jesus. Whatever it is in life, you need to go to the one who can heal you. You need to imitate Simon. You need to imitate James. And you need to imitate Andrew and John. You need to realize the only way this is getting fixed is I need to take this to Jesus. That's it. And if you have friends and family in your life who are going through some issues, they need help. Yes, allow Jesus to use you to help them. But through that whole conversation in that process, you have to also tell them, I've done what I can do, but Jesus doesn't allow me to do. But now you need to go to Jesus.
Yeah.
Yep.
You need to go to Jesus. Don't let them become so dependent on you to where they ignore Jesus. Say, no. I'm just a part of the process to help get you there. But you need to go to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We all deal with some type of trauma. We all deal with some type of sickness. We all deal with some type of disease. We're all dealing with some type of issues in our life. But while we are dealing with those issues, let's find joy while we're going through.
Yep.
Amen.
Let's find joy while we're going through. And while we're going through it, let's remember, at some point and every point while we're walking through it, let's take it to Jesus. Let's wear some good knees out.
Mm.
Let's wear some good knees out. Let's take it to
Jesus.
And finally, Jesus is going to put godly men and women in your life. And you have to remember that every godly man and woman that Jesus puts in your life, you have to know who to confide in and who not to confide in. Doesn't mean that evil, just not every godly man and woman can hold water.
Right.
That's all. Everybody get water. They're not bad, they just can't hold water. As bad as they want to hold it, they just can't. As my mom used to say, that money in your pocket burning a hole in your pocket, they just can't hold it. Find trustworthy men and women of God to build great relationships with on all levels. Understand their weaknesses, understand their strengths. And as you're dealing with whatever sickness and suffering and illness in your life, find joy in it. Find joy in it. Be God's example to the world of what it means to persevere through. What it means to see hope building your character. Jesus is an amazing example of what we are called to be like. For those of us, let's use our gifts, let's use our talents, let's use our life's experience to bring healing to those around us. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you guys so much.